Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. I love him. He loves us so much. The Lord is putting great things in motion for his people who dearly love him, who dearly love him, who seek him to know him. You know, the Lord told King Asa, the eyes of the Lord runs to and fro throughout the earth, seeking those that he can be a blessing to, people that will love him. He wanted so he can be strong on somebody that will stand with him foundationally, so he can be do great things in their lives and use them for his glory and purposes. You know, when a person loves God from the heart, they see him. You know, Jesus taught the pure in heart, they will see God. They will understand him as he is, not like the world. The world has been taught a version of, they've been taught lies about who God is from Satan. All of the world religions, they're designed to keep people in Satan's territory. You know, in the Sunday school class last week, I ended, if you listen to it on the broadcast, it's FS73. And that, you know, we had Sunday school on the first Sunday of every month. But at the end of it, we actually closed out and I just said some extra things. The Lord had, you know, he brought it back to my memory after we had really said our final prayer. Anyway, the enemy tries to keep people in his territory so he can destroy their lives, so he can infiltrate their heart, cause them to be vulnerable. And see, that's just an old tactic that the enemy uses. It's overcomable. You just have to understand what's going on. When you draw near to the Lord, entering into glories such as salvation, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then knowledge glories like authority, learning who you are in Christ. See, these things cause you to live in a heavenly realm, or live from the kingdom of God. You're living from the kingdom of God. And what Satan does, he tries to use outside sources to get you to choose to operate by worldly standards. Which if you do, now you're back in his territory and you swallow his bait and hook, and you're operating from a worldly perspective, and that's where he can trick you. And he's a master at it. He's a master of deception. He uses deception and temptations, allurements, anger, frustrations, anything to get you back into the worldly kingdom of the world's territory. See, the world system is Satan's system. It's not of God. And what cold religion does, it says that God is like those demons that used to demand worship and punish you if he didn't like you. And that's not who God is. God is God. We're in trouble. He's not in trouble. We are. We were born in sin, shaped by iniquity. And he loved us enough to do something about it. So he showed us what he does. He shows us his way. Jesus says, the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And Jesus is the way we get there. But it was the Father who sent Jesus. And it was Jesus who willingly obeyed the Father to save us. So they are both in full agreement, just like Abraham and Isaac. They wanted the covenant of God. The covenant of God was worth more than their life and their best desires. It was Abraham's best desire to have a son from Sarah, a son of promise. That's what he started out desiring. And now he had to sacrifice his only begotten son of promise. And then Isaac, he laid his life down, knowing that God would pick it back up. Or whether he did or not, he laid his life, his whole life became worship, an offering to God. When your life is an offering to God, you consider it his life. It's your life, but you gave it to him. It's his life. He can tell you what to do and you'll do it with joy. And you end up with joy unspeakable and full of glory. So just like Abraham and Isaac was in covenant, the Father and Jesus was in covenant together to save us, to get us out of trouble that we got ourselves into. You know, every man was in the loins of Adam when he sinned. That's the Leviticus rule. I mean, Levi was in the loins of Abraham when he paid tithes to Melchizedek. But see, when when Adam, our father ancestor to all men, when he sinned, we were shaped in iniquity too. That's the rule of Genesis 1. Everything bears seed, it bears seed after its type. When he became a sinner, we became a sinner. God's work to get us out of trouble. And people who love God and they want salvation, they are the most reasonable people on earth. They see the whole picture and they believe what God's account, and they thank God for his mercy and grace. But the wicked are different. Wicked people don't, and proud people. See, when I say wicked, sometimes you might think of a monster. Some people might think of a hateful person like a Nazi, or, you know, a person that's racially motivated, a wicked person that just do anything low down to somebody else. But I want to, let's take the mask off wickedness, pride, a proud man. And I'm going to show you how the proud mind can get people in so much trouble. They do everything opposite. Everything is done opposite. So I asked the Lord his definition of pride. I sensed from the Holy Spirit that pride was a sin that God fiercely hated. And as far as I know, I didn't have a problem with pride. But when I saw that he fiercely hated it, I said, there's a reason why he hated it. I didn't understand everything. You know, I thought just a proud person was somebody to show off, jump the line, something like that, you know, which they do. But it was something God fiercely hated. And I sensed that from the Holy Spirit and read it in the scriptures. And then I started studying how the proud mind works over the years. And I said, you know, I may not, as far as I know, I didn't have a problem with it, but I said, I hate pride. Now, I said I hate pride because the things that was aggressively aggravating to me was temptation and lust and things like that. Anger. Lust and anger. If somebody crossed me wrong, I would fight. I would get so mad I didn't care whether I got hurt or not. That's how I used to be. And I said, I had to learn to do it God's way. You know, in, I think it was 2008, I finally asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why did you put it worded that way if a man slap you on one cheek, turn the other cheek? I finally asked the Lord that. Now, I had done it years, I was talking about this on another broadcast, but I never got to this part. I intended to, but I kept going another direction. I said, Lord, why did you put it that way? Why is that in the Bible anyway? If a man slap you on one cheek, you turn the other. He said, I didn't want my people to provoke violence. And I saw the wisdom in it. God is not out here trying to get temporary justice. He's trying to win souls. The Father's trying to represent himself through us. He set us up to be priests. We're first kings and also priests. We are king. We don't answer to the world. We answer to God. Now, he had to make us kings because Jesus is the King of Kings. So, We're the body of Christ. We have to be a king and we have to be a priest. So we don't answer to the world. We don't answer to governments when they cross the line. We don't answer to the Antichrist. We don't answer to magistrates that are Antichrist. We don't answer to people who don't like God. We are kings. Kings don't answer to other kings. But Jesus is the King of Kings. But a king of one country, he don't have to answer to a king of another country. He's the king of his country. And he don't have to go picking at the king of another country. He has nothing to do with him. So in the sense of, we're kings like Jesus is a king. And he's coming back as a king. He came all he didn't he came as our Savior. He didn't come in a king's robe. He came as our Savior. And he was a king then. And he's a king now. He laid his life down. He even obeyed the magistrates of the day. Our king. He did all that for us. I can turn the other cheek for him. But when he answered me, I saw the wisdom. I said, oh. And that's what happened when I almost got in that fight with my friend Slim. I said, man, I'm going to go buy a drink. That was turning the other cheek. He didn't hit me. But I did works to, inspired by the Holy Spirit and the strength of the Holy Spirit to not provoke violence. I wanted to be that way, but I had no strength to be that way. And the Lord gave me strength when he said, everlasting love, to love a man whether he does you good or whether he does you evil. I saw the wisdom and it charged my heart. That's what I wanted. See, sometimes you can have the right desire, but you don't have the strength to back it up. That's where the word comes in. Now, if I was a sinner without not connected to Christ, I'd have cussed him out and fought him and thought nothing of it and went to sleep tonight if I lived and went to sleep tonight that night. Because when you're in the world, you're disconnected from God. And all you have is the visuals that you see in others. And the prayers of, you know, I went off the prayers of my parents for a very long time. I didn't know it, but that's what was happening. I could have got killed so many times. But my parents was praying for me, and the angels were involved. And God had his hand on my life. That's why I survived my wild childhood. And we did dangerous stuff. I didn't go out picking at folks and stuff like that. But on those motorcycles, we did some dangerous things. And whenever I decided as a sinner that I was going to try something, it never worked out while I was a child. Because my parents, that's why as parents, you need to pray for your children. They don't know what they don't understand the ways of this world and how it works. And the war that happened before God made man. And the spiritual war which is the same war that we're fighting now. See, there's a persuasion of love from God, and there's a persuasion of just do whatever you want to from Satan. There's a persuasion of pride from Satan, which leads to all forms of wickedness. Now, I set the stage up to this point. Let's go into scriptures. The Lord loves us, and we have to understand we have to understand God's position on things. And if we do, we can win. Now, the first chapter I want to go to is Deuteronomy. Let's take another look at it. I touched on it yesterday. Today we're going to look deeper into it. Last night the Lord put on my heart to first thing this morning do a broadcast. This broadcast is going to go all over the world. And everybody who hear it, please be very faithful to what God is saying and sharing. He's just using me as a vessel. This is his doing. All right, Deuteronomy 28. I said before, even in yesterday's broadcast and a few times last week, in last week's broadcast, they're all on this website, that some people miss out on the best things of God because they hear God's word with Satan's ears. And I want to, you know, that might be news to some people, but I broke it down best I knew how, but let's go a little deeper in it. I want to show you more about it because it's a bigger problem than you may see. I mean, if you're looking at it from your perspective, you love God. It's easy to believe that everybody loves God. And I want to show you that the tares and the wheat are opposites. They listen opposite. They see things in an opposite view. They love God oppositely. The wheat really love God, and the tares, they love the world. And they use God's things for social reasons. And when that don't seem to work, they go back to the world. And then there are people who really love God, but they start playing with the world somewhere, and they get leavened. And see, that happens too. And then they say, forget God, I'll just do my own thing. Or they just do their own thing and just either they believe God's okay with it or they just don't care anymore. So there are varied types of tares. They're not just one type of tare and one type of wheat. wheat people of God, they have the things of God in common. They stay in covenant. Some people stay in covenant because they fear judgment. And they love God. They want to do right. And some of them become free. And they hate to the point that they hate sin. Some of them just, they don't want to like sin. And they stay out of trouble. And they work to stay out of trouble. And they spend their life working to stay out. To keep them. They have hobbies and things like that to keep their mind off the world. It can work. Just like a man that, Jesus said, if your hand offend you, cut it off. Or if your eyes offend you, pluck them out. People have really done that. They didn't want to steal and they just cut their hand off. Hey, no, I can't steal. Well, that's an extreme measure. All you have to do is hate the sin. But see, when Jesus taught Jewish people, they were very, he had to spell that out for them. Because their leadership had become so hardened. So they were raised by people. See, when you come out of that culture, he can't just tell you not to do something. He got to spell it out for you. In every which way, this is something you just can't do. All right. Deuteronomy 28. Joseph is giving them the rundown. Moses is giving them the ways of God. Now, in 27, he gave them many commandments. But we're going to start at verse 1. In your study time, read 27. Now, he said, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God, now that's the first part, hearkening diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God. That's the first part. To observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day. That's the first part. And here's the second part, that the Lord will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. That's the second part. Now let's look at the mind of the wheat. People that just love God, they want to do right, and that's all they want to do. They heard the whole verse 1. But the tares of the people, the devil's children, the devil's children are people that think like the devil. Their ears are attracted to what attracts Satan, pride. They dismissed the first part, and they heard the second part. Now they're standing right next to each other. They could even be married. the husband might be wheat, the wife might be a tare. Or another couple, the wife might be wheat and the husband might be a tare. But the tares heard the second part and dismissed the first part. See, the thing about pride is it never disapproves itself. It said, pride never disapproves itself. It always approves what it's doing. It's okay. Here it is. I was looking for it in my notes. Pride never disapproves itself. It seeks praise unto hatred, saith the Lord. And we're going to talk about that again, so I'm going to leave it where I can see it. So, the husband was weak. So he heard the whole verse. The wife is persuaded by the world, by pride, in the first couple. See, you know, it goes, proud people do, it don't matter who, whether it's the man or the woman, it's just proud people, that's how they do things. So, when he said the first verse, they both said, amen. And the wife, who is really the tare, she thinks the husband thinks like she do. The husband, who loves his wife and he loves God, he heard the whole verse. He just heard his wife say, amen. And she thinks like he does. You see where I'm going with this? So, why would he think anything else? And why would she think anything else? Paul told Titus in chapter 1, to the pure, everybody's pure. But to those that are defiled and unbelieving, nothing's pure. You see that? So they're raised together. He thinks she's a wheat. She thinks he's a tare. And she don't think, well, she don't think he's a tear. She don't think she's a tear either. And she don't think of him as a tear, but she think he's like-minded, even though she is a tear. Because she left off the foundation of things. And that's her normal custom. She'll go along with it for social reasons. This is my nation. Moses is talking to us. I got to do what he said do. And I agree with that last part. Amen. But she didn't say no way and then say amen. And tares don't do that, do they? To the first part, she didn't say no way. And to the second part, she said amen. But see, she just didn't say no way to the first part. But in her heart, it's no way. But in her mouth, amen. Because she heard something she agreed with. Verse 2. And all these blessings shall come upon on thee and overtake thee, and thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And both of them say, amen. Only a fool would say no way to that. That's beneficial as a person. See, people don't see themselves as tares. Oh, weak people that are weak, they hope that they're good enough. They hope that they are right with God. And they're concerned about it. Tares are approved. I'm right with God. And God is right with me. He loved me. Just like I am, even though I like something in that world over there. That's how people are. Verse 3. Blessed shall thou be in the city, and blessed shall thou be in the field. And both of them say, amen. And nobody's, no, they're none the wiser. They don't know the truth yet. God looking at the whole thing. Blessed shall thou be, verse 4, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. And both of them say, amen. Why wouldn't they? People that are tares, they can love the wheat. People that are wheat can love, they get married. They have children together. And sometimes the tare could be one of the children or all of their children. Depends on what is persuading them the most. That's why it's so important to believe God. My dad was a wonderful man of God, a preacher. He loved God. And his testimony is just off the charts. His parents got killed when he was 5 years old. He saw it happen. He rode up in the truck with his dad, and his uncle got mad at his wife, which the wives were sisters, okay? My dad is married to my grandmother, and then her sister, this other guy. He was drunk, and he was mad at Aunt Tab, and he tried to kill Aunt. He was after Aunt Tab to kill her, but he killed my grandmother, who happened to be pregnant with twins at the time. And when my dad was in the truck with his daddy, my granddaddy, the bullet went across my daddy's chest and killed my granddad. So he's an orphan at the age of 5. He got his little sister and ran up the hill to his grandparents' house. And he had vowed to kill that man who killed his parents. World War II happened, and he had been running from the Lord. The Lord called him to the ministry as a teenager. And on the way, he actually joined World War II because he was a patriot. He wanted to fight for his country, but he also was running from the Lord. And he was on the bus going, you know, he had joined the army. He got on the bus to go to the army. And a lady said, she said, the Lord's hand is on your life, and I'm going to pray for you, and you're coming back home. All right, he got over there. I thought it was China, but my sister told me that, see, he was an engineer, a sergeant in the army, and he paved the Burma Road. And so part of it is in India, part of it is in China. But Gail told me that he was in an Indian village, and he fell in a whirlpool. And nobody comes out of this whirlpool. But while he was down there, he was talking to the Lord. The Lord was talking to him. And he came back up out of it. And he went straight to the chapel and been preaching ever since. But she told me a detail that I didn't know. She said that had never seen anybody fall into that whirlpool and come out except him. And they were bowing down to him. Now, he didn't tell me that. But Gail told me that. I got bits and pieces of this story all my life. But he was a very dedicated man of God. And he pastored 3 churches at the same time, part-time, in Utah, Alabama. Now, he and my mother, they did all that. They were blue-collar workers. She was a teacher. He worked at the plant. And then he preached. And they went all over Birmingham, over Alabama. They always had to drive an hour away to go to church. But Utah, they spend the night and come back on Sunday evening. And then be right back at work Monday morning. Never complained about it. I never heard, my ears never heard them complain about all that activity. And they did it with joy. Now, I'm the pastor's son. And people respected him. And they loved me. But I did not make Jesus my Lord till I was 19. I wanted to know that I would do right. It was, you know, I just didn't come to, I was playing with the world. I had my own, I acted right. You would have thought I was a Christian, but I was not. So I'm saying that to say this, You can have the best parents in the world. That don't mean that the children will continue in that path. And the Lord said, when I got old enough to understand sin, I heard the voice of the Lord say, you're on your own now. And I knew I needed to get saved, but I didn't. Till I was almost 20 years old. Now, back to Deuteronomy. I had to put that in there because sometimes people have opinions about how a tare works and how wheat works. First, you got to get saved to be a wheat. And God knows people that are salvageable. He works with people. Everybody was a sinner before they were a Christian. But one day, you say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it right. That's when you become wheat. You believe on Jesus as your Savior. And you're in covenant with God. But you're weak. Until you say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it God's way. Now, that's what you're supposed to do when you first get saved. Now, some dedications come after that. I said it when I got saved. I said, Lord, forgive me of all my sin. And he did. Then I forgave all my enemies. And then I asked the Lord to help me do everything. I studied what Jesus taught. In every challenge, I studied what Jesus taught. I put the word in my heart. And as I entered into different glories, such as the baptism of the Holy Spirit, every time more teaching would come that I didn't see before, I would say, I'm going to do that. And I would just do it. It became my way of life. That's what wheat do. They listen to the whole verse, not just half of it. But a tare listen to the good part. Now let's continue. He said, verse 5. We cover verse 4. Blessed shall be the basket and thy store. And they both said, amen. The tare wife and the wheat husband. And they're not the wiser yet. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Amen. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee 7. Amen. The husband's thinking, he's the wheat. We're going to share the gospel with the world. The wife is saying, well, that's good for me. Our country is going to be strong. But she's still not fully committed to the things of God, just the good stuff. Verse 8, the Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And both of them say, amen. The Lord, verse 9, the Lord shall establish thee and holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in them. Now, the first part, the tare might be okay with that, but the amen won't be as loud. The husband say, amen. She's just kind of, oh, yeah. Verse 10, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And both of them say, amen. But the wife probably would have said it a little louder because the wheat don't really care if people are afraid of them. See, God's looking at the whole picture. He see it perfectly. We don't. We see and understand things from our perspective and what we were introduced to first. Verse 11, and the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, and in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. And both of them say, amen. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure in heaven to give rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And both of them said, amen. This is good. They happy. Verse 13, and the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them. The husband said, amen. The wife says, amen to the first part. He heard her say, amen. She didn't say, oh no, to the second part. Darkness hides, folks. That's why she didn't say, oh no, to the first part. Because darkness always hides, and it always pride never disapproves itself. And pride, and it seeks praise unto hatred. So it doesn't want pride. The tear don't want to be some kind of outcast. That will really bother a tear if everybody thought they was a devil, and they're not trying to look like one. But see, the moment you agree with Satan, you're poison with his leaven. This is what you have to understand. And it works against you so many ways. Verse 14, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go out to other gods to serve them. When God is benefiting you like this, that wouldn't really make sense in the mind of a tear. But you can still love the ways of pride and end up an enemy against God, but from your perspective, you can't see it.